some people find it easy to love the elderly man with the tattered jeans, the ruffled hair, and a hand-scratched sign begging for help. Others find it easy to love the orphan with the bloated belly who isn't even old enough to beg. Other people's hearts are broken for the women who are forced by life's experiences into the grips of prostitution. Some find it difficult to love the neighbor who is sitting in the pew right next to them. Recently, the thought of loving your neighbor as yourself has come out in several different places. At the marriage seminar, Mark Slaybaugh said that many people are watching your marriage, and it are loving our neighbor starts with our spouse and our children, and there's a lot of people watching, whether it's our children, our children's friends, our neighbors, and then Jason Reed last weekend said the same thing, that loving our neighbor starts with our spouse. As I've been thinking a lot about who our neighbor is, Luke 10 is a very familiar story. I'm just going to read two verses from there. The Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan is such a simple, very understandable story, example that we have. I'm going to read verse 36 and 37. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Very simple command. To show mercy. Some people think that the scribe and the Levite were on their way to or from Jerusalem to worship, and that the Samaritan was likely traveling for business. But one thing that the Samaritan understood was that both his business and God's sacrifice must give way to such an act of mercy. The scribe and the Levite were willing to sacrifice this stranger that they should have shown mercy to, so that they, some of us are reading through the Bible in a year this year, and there are so many ways in the Old Testament that they could be defiled, that they had to stay away from the temple. They couldn't go worship during that time. But they were willing to neglect following the commandment to love their neighbor in order to be ceremonially clean to be able to offer the sacrifices. So it was more important for them to have the appearance of being holy than to fulfill their calling as helping this person in need. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The term the widow and orphans is used 40 plus times in the Old Testament and only once or twice in the New Testament. But most of the times in the Old Testament where it mentions the widows and the orphans, it is in reference to judgments or what will happen to you if you don't take care of them, if you treat them in a bad way. And the term orphans and widows definitely includes the widows and the orphans, but also refers to the weak. Every society has the people that are more highly vulnerable. And so that group of people is who these verses are referring to. Those who can't take care of themselves. Just a couple examples I had to think of was an elderly neighbor lady, single moms, single dads. There might be people you work with, all kinds of people who can fall into that category that we need to be careful that we take care of. We hear stories of different times when people take advantage of contractors or whatever, mechanics, whatever situation is. An old lady that comes in, you know, she's not going to know that she doesn't need headlight fluid or whatever. And so people can take advantage of that. And there's a lot of things in Scripture that talk about our responsibility to those people. At this time, I'm going to read Mark 12, verse 28 to 40. Mark 12, 28 to 40. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all burnt offering and sacrifice." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. We're going to drop down to verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uttermost rooms in the feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." This scribe here understood in verse 33, it says, to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifice. He understood the fact that that it is more important to God how we treat the people around us, how we love our neighbor. That is what God looks at. It is sad when those who should be examples of charity are proteges of cruelty, and when those who should be displaying the mercies of God and opening their bowels of compassion to others instead shut up their own. We deny the faith if we refuse to love our neighbors. That's an interesting thought, that different places in the Scripture, it talks about how we will be judged by our responses to our neighbors. And in the Good Samaritan passage we looked at briefly, the question was asked, who is our neighbor? And Jesus said that he said that not to make sure he loves his neighbor, but to justify himself. To try to, get out of what he was supposed to be doing, I guess. I'm not sure what exactly he had in mind there. I'm looking for three volunteers this morning. The one Sunday school class is gone, so there's not as many children here this morning as sometimes, but if there's not three, that's fine. There's going to be some homework and some requirements to go along with it, so just so you're warned. But looking for three volunteers. Josie, okay. Kelton and Braden, okay, you guys come up front, you three. Now you're gonna need to pay attention to the rest of the sermon too. Figure out what you're supposed to do. So I have a $50 bill for each of you. Now that's not to keep. What I want you to do with that, one person, and even it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're as old as Marianne or if you're young like you, you can make a difference. To the people around you. So I want you can ask your parents, but be creative. Look for a way that you can help, that you can make a difference in somebody else's life with that money. Look for somebody that maybe can't help themselves. And whatever you come up with is fine, but I want you to In a couple weeks, once you gave the money to somebody or whatever you do with it, I want you to tell me what you did with it, and then there's going to be a chance for you to tell everyone else what you did with it, how you helped somebody with that. So you guys can go back, sit down. May is Foster Care Awareness Month. And I would like to suggest that the children in the foster care system are in the group of people that are considered our neighbors. Just hang with me for a little bit if you say that's not for me. There's a couple statistics that I'd like to share with you, there are some staggering numbers that are out there, and it's easy to think, Philadelphia or somewhere, Harrisburg, somewhere like that has those needs, but they are right here in Chambersburg as well. I'm going to put it up here, see how this works to screen share. So there are a little over 13,000 children and youth in the foster care system. That's just in PA. There's a little over 14,000 licensed foster homes, but there are 5.7 million households in Pennsylvania. On average, and this is the number that is the worst number, I guess you would say, there are over 1,100 youth that age out of the foster care system without a stable home or permanent family situation. And all they did was turn 18. They did nothing wrong. They just turned 18, And so they suddenly are completely out on their own, with most of them with almost nothing. Go to the second one, please. So the data shows that we are not adequately preparing older youth in the foster care for success as adults. These young people deserve more and are worth our investment. 25% of these that age out of the system experience homelessness and struggle with mental health challenges such as depression, substance abuse, and anxiety disorders. Only 44% of them obtain jobs, full-time or part-time. It's hard to imagine. Sometimes you see somebody walking down the street and it's very easy to judge them or to be critical of where they're at, but if I was thrown into the same situation that they are, who knows where I would be. Jim Daly, in a podcast or whatever I listened to the other day, asked this question. He said, would there be kids waiting for homes and aging out of the system if the Christian church were actively doing their job? What would happen if we were their family to the people who didn't have family? And some of us know from experience that this can be messy. It can be hard. It can cost us to be family to these people. God made families to take care of children, not institutions. And a lot of these older youth are in group homes. I had printed a story out that I thought about reading, but I decided not to. But if you search statistics on foster care, there is horrible stories of what these children go through in these group homes. It said the only thing constant was abuse. And so they go from a bad home into this situation only to age out of the system and be turned onto the street with basically nothing. The foster care system, the best way I know to describe it, is that the foster care system is a broken system with broken people trying to fix a broken world problem, and sometimes without God in the picture. I'm not sure how some of those caseworkers, how they do it, they without God as a part of their life. The number three, says that we have spoken with a number of successful adults who have either aged out of the foster care system or were adopted out of care, and the common thread in all of them was that they had one person. One person could make the difference. But that one person had to do something. They had to go tell them, go be there for them. And yet, like I said, it's not just an easy thing to do sometimes. Sometimes Instagram, social media, whatever, has these cliches that people put out there. And we were talking with Johnny and Monica Forrester a couple weeks ago. And Monica said that people often say that adoption, foster care, is a beautiful thing. But she said it isn't always beautiful. They're in the middle of dealing with all the behavioral issues and the past that some of the things that the boys went through. But, okay, I'm going to start over with Monica's statement. She said, people often say that adoption is a beautiful thing, but I say it's not always beautiful. It's the result of a broken, sinful world, and it's not how God intended things to work. But in it is God's redemption story. And we have different experiences with foster care or adoption, or you know, different people have different experiences with it, just like anything else in life. For us, foster care is an avenue to reach the community around us. We know there are lots of needs, but how do we find them? And one thing that I want to say is that we really appreciated, when we had Elysio, we really appreciated the interest or the support that you guys gave. That is very important. And the thing that I thought about this as I was studying, you know, Elysio's mom, Courtney, lives 2 miles down the road from us. And she drives past our place to work every morning at 4 o'clock. But if we hadn't been involved, we wouldn't know that there is a single mom in St. Thomas that needs help. And so that's our way of finding these people that need help. We didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, foster care, that looks kind of cool to do. It was a journey of changing some of the ideas I had about foster care, and really some judgmental attitudes towards some other people who did foster care. Whether or not they were doing it right is irrelevant. I didn't always have the right attitude toward that. So like anything else, there's tons of lists of different myths that people think about foster care, and just a couple of them I want to touch on. It says, like anything else, the first one here says you have to be a perfect parent before you can be a foster parent. That's not true. You have to be wealthy. Again, not true. Number three, you have to own your own home. Again, not true. Basic requirement is to have a safe home, have a bedroom for a child. Number four is, I'm too old. The only stated requirement is that you're over 21. And there are, just for what it's worth, there are empty nesters, older people who enjoy taking in some of these older kids that can be a help to them. And then number five is, I'm waiting for the perfect time. We're all busy, but the question is, what is the value of these activities to ourselves and to others? Think about the kids that are experiencing things they neither deserve nor expected. The physical, emotional abuse, whether it was in their bio home, in on the street or whatever, they can't wait for the perfect time for a responsible adult to help them. And then the last one is, and this is the one that I probably hear the most, is I could never be a foster parent because I would get too attached. I would miss them too much when they left. It would break my heart when they went back to their parents. And in reality, if that is going to happen, if you're doing it right, if you're loving them the way Christ loved us, But instead of letting that fear deter us, we should let the fear of these kids never truly attaching to anyone drive us to help them. Most of these kids have never had anybody that loved them no matter what and that cared for them. And it is hard. At one point I said it's harder. People said it was hard, but they never told me it was going to be this hard. But there is so much blessing and growth that can happen in your own life through this. And each situation is different. There are people who said they were so glad when their foster child went back. It was just like a relief. And so each, just because you don't, and some people feel guilty about that they didn't get all emotional about it when they leave. And so that, you don't need to go there either. Because situations are different and we relate to that differently. And then the last one here is foster care isn't for everyone, and that's okay. But what I want us to do is to get us thinking on ways that we can love our neighbors, ways that we can be community to the people around us. Foster care, like many ministry opportunities, help us be more dependent on God, and often we see how He works things out, even sometimes before we knew that we were going to have that need. One example that was a blessing to us was, and this doesn't happen all the time, but we were able to babysit Elysio while his mom works. And Rosanna started a girls' club, and we were able to connect his half-sister to the girls' club. And it's just one more way that we can show Christ to them. And when Rosanna started that, we had no idea that was going to be an option even. So that was a really neat thing that happened. And so my thrust this morning is there are so many opportunities for each of us to reach out to serve the people around us. If you have a dream or a vision of something to reach people around you, go for it. Talk to somebody. Find somebody that'll help you. It is so many opportunities. There's some of you that are EMTs or nurses, that sort of thing. I could never do that. I would end up on the floor, long before we made it to the ambulance. So everybody has their own giftings. And I think it's neat how some of the, I'm not going to mention any names, some of the older people in our congregation volunteer their time at different organizations. I really appreciate that. What I want to leave you with is foster care may not be for you or not right now, but loving your neighbor is not optional. If we want to hear the words at the final judgment, "I was hungry and you fed me," When I was naked, you clothed me. We must act upon the opportunities that we have. And there are no lack of opportunities. It is a proven fact that opportunity is attracted to those who are looking for it. So as we look for those opportunities, as we find those opportunities, let's do them. Let's go for it. Because the one person, I was just sitting here thinking, the one person that made a difference for those people, that not only made a difference for that one person, but that can totally change the direction of a whole lineage of people by being there for one person. That is a major, that's more than you can do in a lifetime by just being there for one person. And whether you're Braden and Calton and Josie's age or whatever age you are, there are things that you can do. Even if you're in the middle of raising children and you can't foster, there's lots of things to do. So with that, let's pray.